Hello, hello.
Playing Through the Changes of Life.
What a great title, man.
Well,
you do a fine job of naming things, Tim.
Well, appreciate that. I'm wearing my South Dakota hat. You see, it's got a pheasant on it.
So. Yeah, you don't wear hats often. I was wondering about that.
Well, I've had a busy morning. I haven't had a chance to even shower yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Well, I had June training. Then I went and got something to eat because I was starving. And so here I am.
Always training, always learning.
Yeah, I need to be doing it though too. You know, there's that too. So.
I love it, man. You know, it's a. One of the things I've learned from you is that professionals learn from other professionals. You can always level up by learning from other people that are at the top of their game.
Yeah, and Tony Robbins likes to talk about it. He doesn't want to, well, of course, he's a billionaire. I mean, he can afford it, but he tells a story. He's a phenomenal speaker, as you know, once-in-a-generation speaker, and changes people's lives. But he told this story about how he it's a hilarious story because makes you laugh too. Humorous, got all of that in there. And how he was convinced by a friend of his that he needed to learn to play polo. And he didn't want to do that. He wasn't excited about it. Didn't think that was something he'd want to do. And a friend of his convinced him to give it a try. And actually, where he lives in California, where one of his homes is, I don't know how many homes he has, there's a polo field close by. And he went for one lesson, and they gave him a polo pony. Of course, I don't know if you ever seen him live. The guy's a giant of a man. He's like 6'8". And he gave him this polo pony, which when he sat on it, his legs were barely off the ground.
Like riding a motorcycle.
And he tells a story how he was trying to learn how to play this. And he was not really having a good time of it and was waiting to get off the polo pony. And then here comes a bunch of polo players from across the field, and they actually started playing on the field in front of him. And the ball came his way, and his little pony was trained to play the game. And so his ponies took off, and he's got the mallet, and Tony, he'd never practiced or whatever, somehow he swung the mallet, and it went right in the goal.
Wow.
And that's all it took. He's now a polo fanatic. And he said that he wanted to learn. I mean, the reason I thought of this is he said that he wanted to learn from the best polo player in the world. And he reached out to this individual. Of course, he says, I'm Tony Robbins. I mean, that helps. I'm Tony Robbins, and I'd like to learn from you. I mean, how to play polo. And this guy is a pro player. And he says, I don't give lessons. And he kept badgering the guy because his mantra is he only wants to learn from the very best. Whatever he's trying to learn, he wants to learn from the very best. He doesn't want to learn from somebody who's just good.
Right.
And so he kept badgering this guy. And they finally came up with a scenario, a time that both of their calendars were free. It was like 5 a.m. on Thursdays every week, something like that. And so every week on Thursdays at 5 a.m, and many times he would have almost no sleep because he'd just be getting in from wherever he was traveling to or from. But he'd go there and take lessons from this guy for an hour. And now he said he's just fanatic. He said it's just a phenomenal sport. But I mean, you have to have so much money to play it because the ponies, you have to have the ponies. And
right.
It's a moneyed sport, you know.
I love the story because the way I take it is like, because he had the right horse, you know, he already had the right team together and the right tools to get him, like, he didn't even know what he was doing and scored his first goal.
Yeah. I don't think there was any way I mean, it was a practice. It wasn't a real. I don't know if anyone was. I'm sure they have goalies defending the goals. I don't know if anyone was defending the goal, but I mean, just having the ball, is it a ball? I guess a polo ball go in the net was enough to get him hooked on the sport.
And it wouldn't have happened if he wouldn't have had the right horse and the right team in place, you know?
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. So
pretty interesting. Yeah, study with the best.
That's one of his things. He doesn't, if you're not the best, he wants to find the absolute best. And so,
well, it's all dedication, man. I mean, I've many, many times spent the last bit of money that I had to study with guitar players I wanted to study with. And you almost have to take that approach to get anywhere.
Yeah, that's definitely a worthwhile approach, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so I'm glad I don't have COVID, as you know. Yesterday, it's kind of embarrassing. I thought I had COVID toes yesterday because I was outside all weekend. And got my feet wet and was out in the cold and got some kind of fungal infection on my feet. And it's funny because COVID has been omnipresent for about 7 months now. I mean, it's every 3 seconds you hear COVID, COVID, COVID. So yesterday I WebMD'd myself and was convinced I had COVID toes. And so the best part about it was, I told my daughter Madeline in the morning, I said, I think I have COVID. You don't have to go to school. And she came in here and she was like, I don't have to go to school. And I said, no, sweetheart, I think I might have COVID. She said, thank you, Daddy.
Sacrificing for the team. Dad, what a father.
Like, this is why guys don't live as long as females. She was good with it. She's like, you got COVID? All right. I don't have to go to school. Today. Thanks.
I don't have to go to school.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it.
She's a pistol, that one.
Yeah, she's something else. Been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, all three of your kids are very unique and different, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I try to let them all be themselves, which requires three completely different methods of parenting because they are so different. It's amazing how together people are at such a young age. They're just kind of already who they are really early on, you know, in many aspects, and so different. My oldest son, Memphis, he's kind of quiet. He told me last night that his goal was to live by himself just out of nowhere. He said, you know, I want to get through school and go to college and get a really good job, and I just want to live by myself. I thought, oh, well, okay. Well, if that's how you're wired, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, some people are happier that way. Then, of course, Marshall wants to be a gazillionaire, and Madeline wants to never move out. Be interesting how much all of that changes.
So how... Marshall, what is his preferred method of becoming a billionaire today?
Well, he's going to do it like every other 11-year-old on the planet right now, and he's going to do it with YouTube.
Does he have his YouTube channel yet?
Yeah.
He does.
And I laughed it off at first until I found out how many YouTube millionaires and billionaires there are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, man, you got as good a chance doing that as anything.
You know, I mean, YouTube is really still is not given the relevance and is laughed at. I mean, a lot of the generations do laugh at it, but it's very competitive.
That's huge.
Because everybody has seen these YouTube gazillionaires and they think it's easy. And when the ones that had made it at the top made it up, it was a lot easier then. But I think TikTok is what YouTube was 10 years ago, as far as easy to climb the ladder. I mean, there are people that are making a career by exploding on TikTok right now.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a different platform. It's all short videos. The longest video is a 1-minute video.
Isn't that something?
And, you know, the guy... In fact, I was reading the Billboard magazine. I wonder if I still have it, or did I throw it away? Now the magazines are coming so late now.
Everything is.
The mail is all messed up. I think this was the October 2nd edition, and it came within the last week. And I read it the other day. Usually, I go to lunch and I sit down and read the whole thing. And it was talking about Dreams. Fleetwood Mac's Dreams is back on the Hot 100. In fact, I think it was 21 or 20. It was in the 20s. I think it was 20 on the Hot 100. And that in and of itself is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is.
It came out in 1977 or 78.
So many people are being...
But it was definitely the late 70s. And all it happened was this guy, Mr. Bogata, I think, something like that is his name. 420 Doggy Face is his TikTok. And he was... I did a YouTube video on it. His pickup had like 300,000 miles. I think we talked about this before. And his pickup broke down two miles from work. And I heard recently he only had like 15 minutes to get to work. And so when I had employees, they would have just said, "Boss, I'm not coming in. My truck's
broken. Can't make it.
Can't make it today." But he wanted to make it to work. He worked at a potato warehouse. And he gets on the skateboard, and I wonder if it was a motorized skateboard or did he have to push it? That was never made clear. But he, on his way, he pulled out his phone and recorded a video of him, and he must be a Fleetwood Mac fan. He's 30, late 30s, father, two kids, two girls, I think. Tina and his teenage daughter got him turned on to TikTok. He started making videos. He recorded this video to Dreams, and the thing blew up. I don't know what the latest is, 50 million views. And it single-handedly put Dreams back on the Hot 100.
Isn't that crazy?
That is absolutely crazy.
And it changed dude's life, too, right?
It changed his life. And
didn't he get a car?
He got a pickup. He was drinking Ocean Spray Cran Raspberry Ocean Spray juice. And he had a bottle with him, and he just one of those big quart bottles, and he's on the skateboard holding the phone, drinking the juice, and you could see the label and everything. And Ocean Spray bought him a brand new pickup that was the color of, and they filled it with bottles of Ocean Spray. And and now he's got a publicist, and Travis Scott wants to work with him. They're talking about a clothing line.
Wow.
So. Whether or not it's going to be something that has legs, but
certainly changed his life
so far. I mean, he's got a pickup out of it, and apparently there's a lot of money. And he was living in a trailer house that had no running water, and there's been money sent in, some kind of Kickstarter or whatever. People are sending him money, and now he's got enough money for a down payment on a house. So financially, and how did that go viral? And now Mick Fleetwood, who's the drummer, and of course Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac. I mean, he's the name, the reason that it was named. John McVie was the Mac part of it. So Mick Fleetwood and John McVie is where the name comes from. And he did a video, a response video. And there was an article that was talking about the line between user-generated content. There's something called UGC, user-generated content, in the music industry. So you want to create a song that is so popular that you have your fans creating user-generated content, UGC. And there was always a very, very thick black line between the official content from the artist and the UGC. I mean, you could tell the difference. They were just radically different. And one was put out by the label and professionally produced, and the other was usually amateurly produced in an amateur way by the band. But this article was talking about that line is being blurred because now Mick Fleetwood did his own TikTok video, which is of the same quality, just held up his phone and did another TikTok video. I think it was a duet to this this guy from Idaho. Now, is that user-generated content, or is it not? I mean, it's the same quality as the user-generated content. And so they're saying, and is it put? It's not put out by the label. It's put out by Mick himself. I wonder if they even still have a deal. And then also Stevie Nicks has put out some of her own stuff. So would you consider the question asked in the article, didn't answer it, but just saying it's a question, user-generated comment, when Mick Fleetwood does a video using his iPhone and Stevie Nicks does a video using her iPhone and maybe they duet with these fans, is that user-generated content? Because it's the same quality. It's everything is blurred. It's all mixed together now.
That's right.
20. That's where we are now.
Uncharted waters, man. I think that's why the Facebook Live statement was so gray, because they can't even release a concrete statement on how the live game works right now, because they're still figuring out those things. You know, legally, we're in territories we've never been in before.
Right. I mean, still blows my mind that a little app, a vertical phone, which is more casual, and all the videos on TikTok are vertical, which immediately in my mind, maybe wrongly, that seems more casual than the horizontal.
Right. I like the horizontal a lot better.
And everything on TikTok is more casual. It's just a more casual site. People aren't perfect, and you don't have to be beautiful people like maybe on Instagram. It's all about the beautiful photo, and they
right.
10,000 selfies and pick the best one and put a filter on and all that and make it perfect. It's got to look, it's all about the appearance of the photo. TikTok's all about be yourself is my take on it. And like this guy, you know, he looks like an average Joe. He doesn't look like a rock star, you know, just an average looking guy.
It's more relatable.
Yeah.
And think of all the advertising that Ocean Spray got out of that for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even have to solicit that.
Yes, so that's part of it too. It's the interaction of the brands and the it's just a whole, you know, the universe is radically different than even 10 years ago. Than even 10 years ago, man.
Two.
Okay, even two. How long has TikTok been around? Not really a force for more than 2 years, for sure.
I thought it was going to go away. When it first happened, I was like, this will be gone. Flash in the pan kind of thing. Well, my kids were showing me. And then it just, you know, kept growing and growing and growing. And when I knew that it had taken hold and wasn't going anywhere was when my friends started sending me TikTok videos. But I still believe that the ceiling is much lower than YouTube, because it's still not a search engine, you know. YouTube's gonna.
Yeah.
YouTube has staying power.
Yeah, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world behind Google, and they're owned by Google. So the Google company.
And it can find stuff for you. This is my favorite part about YouTube. Like, if I have, when I have free time, when I'm just chilling out listening to music or something, I'll put on a YouTube concert, like bands that I love, if it's like Allman Brothers or old blues bands or something, or Hendrix or whatever, and just let it play. And sometimes, you know, the algorithm that YouTube uses, it'll play something incredible or a show I never even knew happened. And I'll just stumble into it. The first time I heard the Clapton with the Allman Brothers stuff, it was YouTube just landed there. And like Boss Skaggs with Dwayne Allman. And there was all kinds of great stuff of Albert King with SRV and BB King and Buddy Guy all the same night. It's just on and on and on. I mean, I could give example after example. But I love that aspect of YouTube. It's the anti-Netflix. Like, I don't really hardly ever watch television because we have Netflix, and I'm responsible for picking out what I'm supposed to watch. And more times than not, I'll turn it on and filter through and be like, well, you know, I don't want to watch anything bad enough to go hunting for it. And YouTube is the opposite of that. I got to find the first thing, and then it'll kind of stay in that wheelhouse. And I love that about YouTube.
I will say, talk about Netflix. I do, in my personal opinion, and everybody has an opinion, and my opinion is mine, and it may not be shared by many others, I don't know, but I've always lambasted Netflix because the quality control, there are a lot of really skunkers.
They're going for quantity, not quality. It's almost as if HBO released a series and you watched it and it was garbage, you'd be really, really surprised. Netflix, it's like, well, yeah, sure. You know, it's hit or miss.
But the point I wanted to make is I think Netflix is quietly raising their game, in my personal opinion. The stuff I see now I'll go on now they're showing you the top 10 most popular ones. And I go, really? America? Yeah. I don't know if it's America or worldwide. I'm like, this is in the top 10? Sure. What's the taste of you people? Come on.
I agree, man. I agree.
I don't feel that way, but like I tried to watch the most recent Adam Sandler one about, did you start that? I just could not. I just could not even finish it.
Adam Sandler movies are always the same movie, man. He's the quirky good guy that saves the day at the end. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, except for Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Did you see Uncut Gems?
Yes, I did.
That was my favorite movie of last year. Partially because I lived in New York City. I have such an affinity. I love New York City. It's my favorite city in the world. And it's set in New York City. And Jewish culture. And NBA, Celtics. It was stacked for me to love it. You know, Kevin, right. That was a major player in it. The 2012 playoffs against the 76ers by the Celtics was part of the plot. So, I mean, it's set up for me to love it because of all my affinities that I love. So maybe that's why the average person wouldn't say. But it completely got shut out of all the Academy Award nominations, and people said it was because of Adam Sandler's body of work was so goofy. They said, okay, he's got a one-up. We're not going to award him for that because of all the other crap.
They didn't take it really seriously.
So he wasn't even nominated. So
it was a unique film. But yeah, it seems like Netflix sort of regurgitates stuff. Like they did so well with Game of Thrones that they threw out 10 others.
That was HBO, wasn't it?
Or was it HBO? Or not Game of Thrones. It was like Merlin or something like that. It was in that vein of the mystical sci-fi.
On Netflix?
I don't know. On Netflix. They had a big hit. Maybe it was the Merlin show. But they had like 10 spinoffs of essentially the same concept show. And they do that a lot, I've noticed. They're like the record industry. If they find something unique that works, instead of trying to find the next unique thing. The Witcher. Thank you,
Ben Bradley. Hey, thank you, Ben Bradley.
Okay. My man, The Witcher. You don't need Google. I got Ben.
Ben Bradley right here.
Yeah, man.
Love it. I did not see that. And normally I'm not interested in the occult and that sort of thing, I think. So I wouldn't watch something like that. But I did watch the Adam Sandler thing. It was set on Halloween, but I knew it'd be completely goofy, you know, so because that's Adam Sandler, you know.
Yeah.
HBO, I think their quality is higher. Myself, I feel. And now there's this recent one that I haven't seen. It's like, it's so irritating. I mean, you almost need to spend $200 a month to get all the channels because you've come across. Now there's two. Apparently this guy is another Bradley Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein guy. I was reading in the news. What's this thing, NXIVM or something? Did you see any of that?
No.
It was a sex cult. I hardly was heard of it. I mean, this guy apparently, I'm trying to find it, this particular individual, he was sentenced to 3 lifetimes for trafficking women.
And wow.
It's it was something like NXVIM or something like that. It was this cult. And there are two documentaries on it, both on channels that I don't think I have now. One is Hulu, and the other is on HBO. I think I had HBO on a special, and I think it's lapsed. So I want, now they're saying there's two documentaries on this real life situation, and I don't even know what they're talking about because I don't have those channels and I can't watch that. So
I'm in the same boat, man. All that I have is Netflix. Like, we literally go to my mom's house to watch Colts games because I refuse to get anything other than Netflix.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. You know, we all waste too much time. You know, it's watching the TV. It's time.
It's just a time suck for me, man. I get mad at myself if I sit down and start watching TV and realize eight hours later that I burnt a whole day.
Yeah, my pastor shut off his cable. Presumably has no service. I mean, you know, it would kind of be disingenuous to say, yeah, I shut off cable and then not announce that, well, I still have Netflix. I don't know. I don't know his situation. I don't know.
Right.
He didn't say he shut off cable. So, you know.
Netflix is more than enough for me, man.
Yeah, and you can, if you have Wi-Fi, you go on YouTube. You know, I know my nephew, Seth, he watches a lot of YouTube. I mean, there are serial channels you can watch, you know, people that put stuff up. It's like a TV show every week.
Yeah.
Put stuff up, and you can have it basically what used to be a sitcom or whatever you'd want to call it. Just put it on YouTube for free, but you have to produce it and do all the script and acting and camera work. And it's all on the YouTube channel owner.
Well, it's great for me because I went so long without watching TV that I didn't even have to sort through the good and bad shows. I just have all my friends tell me about them. Like, I started watching Breaking Bad in the spring, and per your advice, I started watching Better Call Saul first, so I got to see it in order. As if, like, you watched the Star Wars movies in the order that they were supposed to be in. I've gotten to do that with a lot of shows. So, well,
yeah, and I'm a little bit upset because there's another whole season of Better Call Saul that I haven't seen yet. And I'm pretty sure that it's out. And on Netflix, all it is, it ends up with, I think it's season 4, where he says, he announces that he's going to be Saul. It's all good, man. That's when he said that to his girlfriend. It's all good. When he gets his license reinstated, and then he says, I got to fill out this form that says that I'm going to be doing it under a fictitious name. And Kim, is it Kim?
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend looks at him with a puzzled look, fictitious name. And he said, yeah, it's all good, man. That's going to be Saul Goodman.
I love the character development on that series and on Breaking Bad, because you start off just rooting for those guys, you know, Saul and Walter. You're rooting for them so heavy, and then they start getting kind of seedy, but you're vested. They're like old friends, you know what I mean? Like, you see them.
That's
you
why
see them start to spin out, but you're still on their team, you know?
I think that's why some of the greatest series of recent times, you know, Sopranos is one where you want to root for him, but he's a very, very bad man, Tony Soprano. Very, very bad man. You know, ordering people killed, but yet the show, very original to focus on his family life. And you like his family and his fights with his wife and going to his psychologist. And what was her name? Brocco was her last name. I'm going to come back to this. Remind me to come back to this. Lorraine Bracco, she played the psychologist on Sopranos. There was something I want to talk about her about that. Anyway, Sopranos was so well done because it made you like the protagonist, but then that person became an antagonist. And it's so muddled. You know, it's so far away from the good guys wear the white hats.
Yeah, the lines start to get skewed, man.
And I think another great series was The Wire. I don't know if you ever watched The Wire.
No, I haven't seen it.
Of The Wire. It was set in Baltimore, and it was the cops chasing the there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of street life in Baltimore, and it was very well done. I think it was on HBO, and the song was "Down in a Hole," Tom Waits' song "Down in a Hole." It's a great theme song, and every season it would be done by a different group. The first season it was done by the Blind Boys of Alabama.
I bet that was great, man. That's a unique concept to take the same song and have it done by a different.
So each season it was a different, and that's a phenomenal song. So anyway, you know, that's an example of great writing where you didn't know, were you rooting for the drug dealer or were you rooting for the cop? It was that kind of thing. Some cops were dirty, you know, and but you still liked them because you'd gotten to know their personality. So it was very well done in that regard. And that's, I think, what makes a great, that you know, that tension.
Sure.
And then now, you know, Breaking Bad, where he started out as a guy who thought he was going to die with cancer. He just wanted to provide for his family. And he slowly got sucked into it. And
but you're still behind him, you know?
Still behind him.
No matter how bad he gets.
Did you see, have you seen all of Breaking Bad already?
No.
Okay.
I have not. I have 2 seasons left.
Yeah, but you're missing at least one season. Have you seen the last season?
I haven't seen the very last season of Better Call Saul because Netflix didn't have it.
Yeah, Netflix doesn't have it. I don't know where it is, but I'd like to see it.
And I was super confused, man, because I thought I was in order and just all at once picked up watching Breaking Bad. I'm like, I feel like this is bad writing, maybe. I didn't know I was missing the whole season.
Yeah, well, Kim, his girlfriend, is nowhere to be found in Breaking Bad. Kim is, and there's been a lot of, and that, so that's in the season that we're missing. I think it's revealed what happens to her. I don't know what happens to her, but does she get killed or she just say frustrated with I can't remember his real name, Saul, with her boyfriend, Jimmy, yeah. And does she just abandon him or does she get killed? We don't know, but she is not in Breaking Bad. But one of the things about it is, well, and then Game of Thrones is another, you know, great. If you look at great series over the last 20 years, you know, I think the top maybe, I think, Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad definitely is on that list. What else, you know, that are considered? I think The Wire would be, although I don't think The Wire got as much success as far as viewership. It's kind of a niche audience, but it was very, a lot of people said it was some of the best writing on and acting on cable. So yeah, so these big arcs of shows.
You never know what's gonna hit, man.
Yeah. Then there's Billions, but I got tired of Billions because I love Paul Giamatti. Huge fan. But he got so, it was, he, you know, talk about, he's district attorney or assistant district attorney, whatever. And he's fighting against this guy who's stock fraud. And he's supposed to be the good guy, but he resorts to such evil things by season 4. Well, that's where we got the song we wrote, Born in South Dakota, together. That's where I got the idea from, Billions. And I've done the interview. I've been interviewed now like 7 times, and they all want to know where that song came from. And I tell them the story. It was the first season of the 3rd season of Billions, the first episode, where the protagonist is going to meet his new boss, the new, what's the top guy for district attorneys all report to? Attorney General. The new Attorney General, and the guy was from San Antonio, and the song playing was Born in San Antonio. And I heard that, and I'm like, wow, it's a guy, an artist from Texas. And I said, man, I need to write a song, Born in South Dakota. And then I came up with a line, Born in South Dakota, Don't Say I Didn't Warn You. And I said, hey, let's write this song. And then you helped so much with so much more of it. And we decided to put Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane in it.
Yeah, man, it's pretty cool, too. Yeah,
thanks. Anyway, back to, sorry, go ahead.
And it's historically accurate.
historically accurate. Yeah. Calamity Jane and Wild Bill Hickok are still buried to this day side by side. And Bill's love, Jane, still hasn't won. That was your line. You came up with that line. Anyway, I wanted to go up to Lorraine Bracco, probably. She was the psychologist in Soprano, Bony Shrink. She was the actress that played that part. She also was, incidentally, in Goodfellas. She was married to the protagonist in Goodfellas, a much younger Lorraine Bracco. She was the actress that played the wife to Henry Hill, who was played by, what's his name? The guy that gives everybody chills because he's such a great actor. Who's the lead guy in Goodfellas? It'll come to me. Italian actor. Anyway, the opening scene is like a 10-minute scene, no cuts. They come through the back of a restaurant, and then they come into the restaurant from through the kitchen, and it was this uncut scene. It was kind of famous for that. Anyway, she was in that scene because he was taking her to this restaurant. Anyway, Lorraine Bracco, having some success, maybe not super famous to a lot of people, but in Italian movies, Italian mob movies, she's had her parts because she's Italian. Well, I don't know if you've heard of Italy has a problem with demographic decline. Their birth rate is one of the lowest in the industrialized world. I think it's 1.1 per adult female. And you need to be at 2.1 to maintain for every adult female birth rate. And so it's about half what it needs to be. And it's shrinking. And they're saying in 100 years, the Italians are saying, you know, our country will be, you know, demographics is destiny, is the phrase. You know, and if you're shrinking population,
it's like the China thing.
It's really hard for your economy to grow when you have shrinking population. It's really hard. Meanwhile, so they started advertising, and I remember saw this article in the New York Times, and this a couple years ago, this town of Sambuca advertised homes, Sambuca, Italy. Southern Italy, which is even more poor. The Northern Italy is where a lot of the industry is, and like Milan and north of Rome. Everything south is more rural and more impoverished. And of course, you go even further south to the island of Sicily, and then it's really impoverished. And so Sambuca is a city, I think it might be in Sicily. And they were advertising homes for $1. And it was in the New York Times. Well, it was kind of a misrepresentation. It was an auction, and the starting bid was $1. And so, and actually my friend, Michael, he's an American, but he speaks fluent Italian. He's an Italian guy. And although he studied Italian as an adult, he didn't learn it as a kid. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, let's go into business together and let's buy one of these homes. And if it needs some renovation, you can help me with the renovation. And he looked into it a bit, and I did too. And you could look at some of the pictures on their website. It was disastrous. I mean, just basically a foundation, some of them. And going over there and you're trying to have Italian guys renovate your home. I mean, you know, remember, is JR Davis Construction going to go over there and rebuild our home?
Right.
So we decided.
Ralphie live from Italy.
So Lorraine Bracco has a Netflix show now. I think it's on Netflix, or maybe it's HBO. And my friend Michael sent me an email the other day, and I had actually seen the trailers for it. And he said Lorraine Bracco is back on the news, and she's got this show where she apparently got a home or two in Sambuca for a buck or not much more than that, and trying to renovate it. And apparently it's not going well. And she said, I'm an actress, I'm not a construction person, and a lot of troubles. And Michael must have watched it. I haven't watched it. I do want to watch it. But he said that the construction costs were like $300,000 and just really didn't go very well. And then, okay, he spent all that money. I mean, $300,000, okay, depending where it is. But if it's a rural town with almost no amenities and almost no grocery store and nothing, I mean, and the reason they're giving these away for so little is that because everybody's leaving.
Because people do not want to be there. Yeah.
People don't want to be there. So there's got to be a reason. You know, and these are inland. These are not on the ocean, these towns. So it's, you know, not like you have a beautiful ocean view or anything. So it may sound idyllic. It may sound exotic. It may sound romantic. But you spend all that money and you got a home that maybe you want to go visit. And it's still Italy. Okay, so it's still Italy. But, well, maybe there's no – it's not like you're living in Rome or Milan or Florence, you know.
Yeah, if it sounds too good to be true, probably is.
So anyway, Lorraine Bracco made me think, Sopranos made me think of her. She's in the news now, or not in the news, but she has that reality show. So, and there's another city that came on the news, or it was in the New York Times in Italy. You know, Sambuca, I think, was the first one that did it. The name of the city or the town, I didn't think, probably not even a city, more like a town. But there are other towns that are doing the same thing. They're desperate to get people to come in. Because first of all, Italy's population is decreasing overall. And the people that are there are not staying in these little towns. They're going to the bigger cities. So you got a double whammy. I mean, you got a decreasing population because nobody's having kids. And on top of that, in these rural areas, everybody's leaving. And so, and there's nobody's having kids to support it. So, you know, can imagine a city town meeting, and what can we do to try to save our town? I know, let's do a big auction.
Right.
After the New York Times put that one article in, I read some follow-up articles, and it said that their website really was kind of broke the internet for them. Because
I bet it did.
Somebody read that and said, oh, $1, a home in Italy for $1. Yeah. And the inquiries were just too overwhelming. They couldn't.
Yeah, I'll buy 1,000 of them.
So,
good stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, the people are the same everywhere in the world. We're all the same, you know.
Sure.
Same trends are happening in most countries. You know, rural areas are struggling. I don't care where you are, U.S., South Dakota. You know, I'm from South Dakota, and the hollowing out of the rural areas. South Dakota is pretty sparsely populated anyway. And all the young people, not all, but a large percentage of them want to move and go to a bigger city, go to Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls is booming, the largest town in South Dakota, 160,000 people, which isn't a lot, but for South Dakota, which only has 750,000 people, that's a lot of people.
That's what happens here. All the young folks move to Indianapolis or Louisville. Except for the handful of people like me that just loves being in a little town, you know. Some people are a little slower pace.
Well, Madison is a very cool place. I mean, and you have industry coming in there. Whether you have a new food plant coming in.
Yeah.
How people are they supposed to hire?
Food plant, a new hotel.
So there's renovation. I mean, it's not, I don't think you're at the level of Sambuca.
Right, we're not going to die of boredom here,
and we're not. You're not going to be selling houses for a buck,
right? It's a drinking town with a music problem.
Yeah, didn't you say it has the most operating bars of any city
per capita? Yeah, in the state of Indiana.
I don't know if that's a distinction to be proud of or not.
Probably not. Doesn't hurt when you're a working musician, though. There's always gigs.
All right, buddy. We've done it.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching, listening.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.